Hello and welcome to episode 35 of Science Chat, the Science Communication Podcast. I'm Sean Marshall. In this episode, I talk with Sam Molyneux, PhD student at University of Toronto and co-founder of ScienceScape. ScienceScape is a project to create a social map of science, and its mission is to organize scientific literature in history and real time. Hi, Sam, and welcome to Science Chat.
Hi, Sean. Thank you very much for having me here.
Sam, tell me, what is ScienceScape and who is it aimed at?
So ScienceScape, what we're building, and it's we're sort of about 2 months, 2.5 months away from launch, we're building what we think is the world's first online map of science. And so it's targeted at all research scientists in academia, as well as, of course, there's the huge number of people that consume the literature. So you can think of students, allied medical professionals, doctors, and as well all of the industries that rely on basic scientific research or published scholarly research for what they build and the services they offer and the things that they do. So all of pharma, and then of course there's also the companies that actually provide reagents and materials back to scientists. And so, for example, life sciences manufacturing. So ScienceScape, essentially, our mission is to organize all of the scientific literature, and we're trying to do that by context and impact. So you can think of, there's sort of two parts of this problem. On the one hand, you have everything that's been published at this moment, and so that goes all the way back in history. And so our vision is to organize everything, you know, prior to this moment, by several categories and using several approaches. And then, of course, there's everything that's coming out. So you can think of, there's sort of a publication front that's constantly occurring. And the other part of our mission is to organize and stream new literature to people who need to know about it as it comes out. And so the faster we can do that and the better we can keep up with that publication front, I think the more effective the tool will be. So a lot of this arose from my experiences in science, and you can think of there's several categories of context that we can look at within science to organize papers by, and many of these are really form sort of the social landscape of science, so the landscape of research from the human side. So there's the fields and topics that we associate papers with. So at sort of a very macro scale, you have things like biochemistry or disciplines, but people don't really, I mean, people are associated with disciplines, but if you ask the typical scientist, you know, what do you work on? They don't tell you, well, I work on biochemistry. I work in the field of biochemistry. It's not really the case. They'll tell you that they work on natural entities or natural objects and processes. So at ScienceScape, one of our major focuses is having extremely granular fields and topics to organize papers by, and so we've been working a lot on that. And then there's, of course, all of the people. So there's all of the millions of historical authors and also millions of active authors, the research teams. So something that's been published on recently and is sort of widely known is that science is no longer the provenance of the lone genius, and so you don't really have individuals working by themselves and publishing research for the most part. You see that somewhat in the social sciences, but not often anymore in the physical and biological sciences. So we have teams, and often they're large teams, especially in the biological sciences, and in physics you see that the most. So you could picture a group of individuals working in a lab, that would be a research team, or the organizations of labs. So then you have institutes and research networks or consortium. And then there's also the places that scientific research is done. And so we know that the landscape of talent and the landscape of expertise is not evenly distributed, for example, across North America. So you can see places like Boston and San Francisco and California, are and even in Canada and Toronto, where we're located, there's dense hubs of expertise. And so if something comes out of Boston, I mean, you know, we know that there's a lot of talented, for example, genomicists located in Boston. You know, you tend to take a little bit more notice than maybe somewhere else. And so on the other side of this organization scheme, you also have the impact of the work. And the impact of the work is sort of a multidimensional property that can be measured in number of citations that a paper has gotten, and also if you're following a lot of what's happening in the open science movement, there's a real focus on the use of alt metrics. And so here you see sort of fast accruing metrics such as read count or the number of downloads or the number of tweets or tweetations to a paper. And so various groups like Total Impact are accumulating these, and we're hoping to integrate a lot of these metrics into the site. And so overall, our vision for ScienceScape is, you know, to organize the paper by context and impact and act as an integrating hub for a lot of these citation-level metrics.
Sam, how does the site work, or how will the site work?
So the way the site works, from the user's perspective, you know, a lot of what we've been trying to figure out as a startup is, you know, what does a map of science, what would it look like, an online map of science, and how would it function from a user's perspective? So at this time, we've built a very large software framework to do all of the organization tasks that I spoke of. And what we're trying to figure out now, we've generated sort of a first version of the interface of the site and figuring out what the user interaction and user experience would be like. So essentially, the way that we've envisioned it and the way that it will work for the first version is you essentially come to the site, and a lot of information is presented to you from various perspectives within science, from a high-level overview of all of science or all of life science, for example, as well as all the way down to those sort of granular fields and topics, people and places. And if you don't sign up for the site, I mean, it's not like a Facebook or something like that. It's not a walled garden. So the site's completely open, and it can be crawled by Google. You can use it anonymously to explore the literature. However, if you want to follow literature in real time and customize sort of the way the site feels for you, you're able to sign up for an account. And at that point, you really just essentially explore the site to find the context, so the people, teams, places, fields, topics that are relevant to you, and you simply subscribe to them. So you walk around the map of science, subscribe, and all new activity within those contexts is brought to you. And so a real focus for us is pushing new literature and new activity within each one of these contexts out to the user. And so you have sort of a real-time feed, a bit like Twitter, and we also push all of the content to your device in alerts, and eventually we're going to build apps so that you can both explore and interact with the data and have it brought to you. And so that I think that really sums up, like, overall what the value of this thing is going to be. It's a massive literature discovery tool. It allows you to follow science in real time, and then of course there's a social layer that we've built on it with certain familiar features, so you'll be able to share your feeds out to the world, plug them into Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and we're looking at various other integrations, and also broadcast and rebroadcast within the site, so it's possible for things to go viral within the site.
And who is involved in running ScienceScape?
I'm one of the co-founders. I started the startup with my sibling, Amy Molyneux. And Amy's a very talented programmer. And so we've been working on this for about 2 years now, just under 2 years. And over this period, we've recruited developers. So there's about, I think there's been between 5 and 7 of us some of the time. And recently we've recruited a whole bunch of fantastic advisors on various aspects of the business, on bibliometrics and our technology platform. And also we have a scientific advisory board. So we're growing quite quickly. And there's lots of us working on it now. So we're really looking forward to launch. It's going to be fantastic.
And you said earlier that the idea arose from your experience in science. Why did you decide to set up ScienceScape?
Sure. So I'm a PhD student at the University of Toronto, and I've been focused for many years on using large data sets. So I work in cancer genomics, and I do genomic analysis of bone cancer and other sarcomas. And for many years now, I've been sort of analyzing these genome-scale data sets. So not to get too detailed with it, but essentially we've been using copy number data sets to identify genes that are deleted or amplified in cancers. And from those, we sort of do this, you know, needle in a haystack approach where you apply all these filters and eventually you're able to identify, you know, potential new oncogenes and tumor suppressors. So working with lots of data and, you know, publishing papers in Science, I quickly discovered being, you know, sort of very interested in making the next advance in my field, that there's far, you know, there's a vast excess of papers coming out now, or just a huge river of papers coming. And looking at this and looking at the history of scholarly output, you can see that there's been sort of like an exponential increase in the number of citable entities that are published each year. And, you know, at the current date, there's over 2,000 papers that are published every day, between 2,000 to 4,000 papers, depending on the day that you pick. And at this scale of publishing, it's a major challenge for individuals who are in research and also the consumers of the literature to keep up with research. And so, you know, if you ask the average researcher, whether they're a PhD student or master's student or postdoc or even a professor, how they keep up with the literature, I mean, most don't have sort of a great tool to do it. And so it's really up to them to continually go back to the search engines like PubMed or Google Scholar or whatever your domain-specific search engine is and search again and again and again. And so if you want to stay up to date, you have to keep searching. And search is, of course, contingent on the quality of the keywords you use. And most people, because it's not their, you know, core competency, they're great scientists, but they actually aren't that great at searching. And so people are actually not aware of most things happening in their field most of the time. And it takes to the point of actually publishing a paper and taking seriously, you know, building the background for whatever your new research finding is, for people to sort of rectify their knowledge of the literature. So there's essentially a publication overload problem. On the one hand, I had been dealing with very large data sets. And on the other hand, I've just got a great love of science. So I had read a book several years ago called The Eighth Day of Creation by Horace Judson. And it's a fantastic book, and it essentially documents the discovery of, you know, the secret of life, which is in cell biology, which is the central dogma, the processing of information through the cell from DNA to RNA to protein. And what this book really showed me is that there's rich human stories behind all of these papers. And, you know, these papers build on each other, and there's sort of a marketplace for knowledge that's occurring in the world. And so all of these experiences sort of came together.
And how is Sciencescape funded?
So we've been bootstrapped from the start. We funded it ourselves, which obviously is fairly difficult as a student. More recently, we've been able to obtain grants from the Canadian government. And right now we're looking at another grant, which should get us through the next couple months. And we're thinking of running a Kickstarter campaign to cover the next year of running. But I guess ultimately we're probably going to have to look for investment. But we're sort of trying to delay that as long as possible so that we can get to a very complete product with some traction in the marketplace.
So I guess from listening to what you said earlier on, the idea of Sciencescape is that it will be a business. So, I mean, I was going to ask you, is it a for-profit venture? But I'm guessing the answer is yes, it is going to be a business.
So early on, I mean, that was a big question. We looked to, you know, some of our inspiration points, such as Wikipedia and various other not-for-profit ventures. And what we decided is, you know, if you look at a lot of the tools that come out of academia, so, for example, every bioinformatics lab has, you know, some algorithm that they'll publish that does some particular very specialized task. And for a while, they'll have a web portal that supports that. And eventually the funding for that, the grant funding dries up and those things continually disappear. We didn't want this to be one of those things. And we realized that we could probably build this in such a way that we could make it totally free for academics, totally free for the public, and serve a common social good in science, but actually take on take on the challenge at the scale of the problem instead by doing a for-profit venture. And so part of our business model, I won't discuss it in depth, but part of our business model is corporate sponsorship and blocking biotech and pharmaceutical companies from using this, and they would be charged for the same service. So, you know, obviously they could sign in if they really wanted with some common web email address like Gmail or Hotmail, but if they want to use it this as a company and be represented on the map as, of science as a company, they'll have to pay for that. And so that's sort of one approach we're taking, but we have some other ideas too.
And how do you plan to get the buy-in from the scientific journals? I mean, you spoke earlier about how many scientific papers are, you know, published every day. I mean, for this to be successful, you're going to have access to those scientific papers. So how do you plan to do that?
So there's a couple aspects to that. Really what we're trying to do is organize the citations themselves. And so obviously ScienceScape eventually could become a great portal to access the full text of articles, and certainly for the open access articles, we'll be able to link to them directly and you'll be able to click through right to the full text. But really what we're trying to do is show people what they should be reading and help people find what they should be reading. But mediating the access to the full text is another thing in its own, and I think a lot of people are sort of working on that aspect of the problem. In terms of getting buy-in from the journals, we think our interests are very aligned with the publishing industry. And so, you know, there's high quality papers coming out in many journals, and not just at the top end of the impact spectrum. And so, you know, we're going to be essentially directing traffic from our site to those journals. And we think we should be able to develop great relationships with them.
And lastly, Sam, how do you plan to measure the success of ScienceScape? I mean, I know you have decided to make it a for-profit venture, but I think from listening to what you said about your reasons for setting up this site, I think you probably have maybe a little bit more of an altruistic idea in mind as to how you'll decide whether or not the ScienceScape has been successful.
I think there's multiple aspects to that also, but two of the most important will really be uptake by the community. I mean, is it being used? So right now, you know, we're trying to build up some buzz for the site so that people get excited about what we're doing. So, you know, if we give the site, say, if we look in 2 years, do we have over 100,000 or over 500,000 people using it? What's our traffic like? How are people using the site? Are they using it in the way we intended, or have they found new ways to use it? So we'd like the framework to enable people to ask, you know, quite a varied spectrum of questions about the literature and find papers in varied ways. And so we'd look at the user activity. On the other side, actually making the site work the way that I've described is a pretty big technological task. And so I think part of the success of the site will be, can we build this map with all of those different contexts in it and actually make that platform run in such a way that the user really can simply walk around the site, subscribe to the context of interest, and have a complete set of papers brought to them. And there's many ins and outs there and hurdles that we're trying to overcome. In the first version of the site, we have something that we think approximates that. And certainly it's, you know, it will be a rocky start, as with all initial beta launches, but we're really confident that those are tractable problems and we can get there.
Thanks very much again, Sam, for talking to Science Chat today.
Yeah, thanks. It's been thrilling, and it's a great pleasure being asked to speak.
Well, that's it for this episode of Science Chat. You can find out more about ScienceScape at www.sciencescape.org. And as usual, you can find out more about this and other Science Chat episodes at www.sciencechat.net/WordPress.